This program is sponsored by Love Radio Network.
Get ready to kick up some dirt and mud because it's time for San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio with Dave Stahl. SDORC is here to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. So whether it's bikes, buggies, trucks, or trikes, San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio brings you the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles and protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. Because together, everyone achieves more. Now, here is your host, Dave Stahl.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome to SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The answer.
Hey, before we get started, I want to dedicate the full 6 hours to Kevin Bowersock. Went to a celebration alive, Brendan and I, yesterday. It was tough. Brendan got up, did a good job, choked, just like I did. Hate to see the guy go. 51 years old, full of piss and vinegar. I'm telling you.
Wow, that's young.
That kid was wild. And when you hear, well, you should have heard some of the stories. Holy moly.
Wow.
So big shout out. And I think what we're going to do is I'm going to get with his brother, Brian, who owns West Escondido Auto and Trans, which is one of my sponsors. We're going to put a scholarship together.
That would be awesome.
At either Miramar, Miramate, one of the colleges that has an automotive program. So.
Oh.
Dad came up from Ohio, and he just couldn't believe I came up with that idea. And he says, that was awesome. So we'll see where we go with that.
That would be amazing.
Ed's in the desert. Isn't he going on a tour with somebody?
Yes, he is up with the Bureau of Land Management.
Oh, that's right.
There was a meeting yesterday for the Mojave District that he is up in, and he is joining them for a tour today. So he is doing the Ed thing, thing.
Yeah.
Yep. Following up and seeing. I'm not exactly sure.
Is he strong enough? I mean, does he fight?
Oh, yes.
Oh, he does?
Yes.
I've never seen him, so I didn't know.
What do you mean?
Well, like when something comes up and he knows that it's wrong.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, he perfect. Gets loud and
loud.
Yes. Yes. Not Waldheim status. Yeah. Ed Waldheim would be in your face, upset and aggressive, and, you know, he would demand, that's not how you're using my taxpayer money. That's not how you're using my green sticker funds. Ed Waldheim was a pistol, and he would go in and he would, you know, be.
So when they seen him coming, they were nervous.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. Ed is not. He is a soft, gentle.
Right.
Yes. He does not approach in that. That's me. And I think as things happen and go down and not Ed.
I was curious.
Ed tries to be as
bipartisan
and congenial. Yes, exactly. As he possibly can. He tries not to upset anybody because he sees the point of view of everybody, you know, which I agree. We do too. I do too. I posted, I'm a conservationist. I want to preserve the natural environment. And when I go out to the desert, I want to see the beauty of the desert and not a bunch of trash or illegal dumping or shooting trash or, you know, I want to go out and have a great time. And not have to spend my time cleaning up after other people.
Right. Yeah. Still frustrating. Hey, Brendan.
Yeah.
My TV locked up.
Oh, sorry. I'll come in.
For your race. Well, let's do a shout out to Imperial Valley Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram out in El Centro.
So if you're looking to buy any of those products, guess what? No markup, great inventory, and awesome customer service. Go to IVCDJR.com. IVCDJR.com. Also, Alpha Sight Logistics. Doing anything out in the desert? Can't do it without Alpha Sight. 760-352-8383. 760-352-8383. Or check them out at Facebook at Facebook.com or Facebook/ Alpha Sight Logistics.
Yes.
Not to throw you under the bus, but all you did was hit the pause button on there.
So. I did not. I didn't touch nothing.
It's okay. No, it's
I didn't do it. Trust me. You know me. I don't touch nothing that I can't touch. So anywho, so what's going on, kid?
Well, this week has been a busy week. Ed attended a meeting. He'll have to talk about it when he comes in next week. He's out in the Mojave Desert right now attending that meeting, and that's for the Desert Advisory Council. Mm-hmm. I went on Friday up to Palm Springs. I got it off work. Thank you, South Coast RV Parts and Service Center down in Chula Vista. They let me take the day off of work and head up to Palm Springs to attend the California State Parks Off-Highway Motor Vehicle Division public access meeting. So when Kathy Lynch, our lobbyist at the end of 2021, got the trailer bill put in for SB 155. So at the end of the legislative season, there's always a final bill. The final bill is a trailer bill. Bunch of stuff gets put into that. That basically dictates how money is going to be spent, where it's going to go, and decides the final budget. And we got put in, our lobbyist did a great job. She got put in the language that we lost some land up in Northern California, near Sacramento, that actually served five counties up in that area to provide a 4x4 area. Carnegie State vehicular area is mainly single track dirt bike. And this was a portion that was connected to it for the last 20 years or so that has been stuck and held in litigation that was supposed to be for vehicle, full-size vehicles to be able to go and access, and green stickers to be able to go and access. And we lost that in 2021. There was a six-year legislative battle between basically the neighboring property, which is a rancher, and he said that we were disturbing the animals, you know, there, and so he didn't want off-roaders there. It was, you know, held in litigation for several years, basically, by the same person who finally pushed it through legislation. And after the six-year battle, we ended up actually losing it to them with the trade-off that they're going to give us more trails and give us more land. So that's what this public outreach meeting was. It was the third one that they've held in the last 6 months, I believe. And they are trying to go throughout all of the state of California and look at not just existing state parks. So they're looking at our existing 280 state parks that we have to see if there's land there that we could potentially add a new off-road area.
What are the chances?
Right. And between, you know, when it's a state park, it's difficult because a state park dictates that it has to be street legal, right? That's what Ansborrega is. That's what most of the other state parks are. So that's one of the things that frustrated me with them looking at existing state parks, because that's not giving us a green sticker, red sticker area to go adventure and play around at. So where are you going to take your side by side if it's not a street legal side by side? And if you're going to go through everything to get it registered and become street legal, then you're okay. But if you're not, you're on a quad, a dirt bike, a side by side, a UTV, they're not giving you access to if they choose a state park. But that's not all they're limited to. They're looking at land acquisition right now. They're looking at rural areas. They're looking at forest land and Bureau of Land Management. They're looking at different areas as well to see if maybe there's some, you know, OHV parks for the Bureau of Land Management that need help and could use renovations and upgrade and actual management too, and to make it a better off-roading area for us. So I think that's really cool. And it looks like they're also potentially looking at working with a nonprofit land trust to potentially buy land. And one of the state parks representatives that I was there with yesterday said that they are just acquiring a new property for a state park that a land trust went through, and the land trust purchased the land, and the land trust has less regulation against him to provide property restoration and habitat restoration, rebuild it back to what it is. And then at that point, they can turn around and they can sell it to state parks, and state parks can come in and take it over, in which case they only then have to worry about the development of developing it into whatever type of use that it will be for. And they're looking at, you know, green sticker, red sticker trails, rock climbing, fishing, hunting, and all of that, all within our green sticker funds as well. So, you know, I thought that was really interesting.
More to talk about?
Potentially, yeah.
I got a couple questions, but we'll do that when we come back right here on SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
Folks, hey, welcome back to SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
Fire and Ice Heating and Air, great supporter of SDORC Dirt Radio. Give them a call if you ever have any AC or heat issues. 1-800-400-FIRE, 1-800-400-FIRE-3473. Family owned and operated. Got somebody else looking at your system and you'd like to get a second opinion? Hey, Fire and Ice will come right over, take a look, no charge. If they can beat it, you're ahead. If they can't, you're still ahead. Fire and Ice Heating and Air. Go to fireandicehvac.com. fireandicehvac.com. Wayne Miller Tire. Used to sell nothing but tires. Now he does it all. Headlight to taillight. Little tire to big tire. Oil changes, tune-ups, alignment, brakes, shocks, suspension, transmissions, radio. You name it. If it's in your car, they can work on it. Wayne Miller Tire. 619-596-2800. 619-596-2800. Audrey Mason in the house today. Ed is over with the Bureau of Land Management trying to resolve some issues. We were talking earlier in the first segment about a meeting that Audrey had gone to and was very disappointed in the attendance. And I'm going to tell you right now, folks, and you can get mad. I don't really give a rat's patoot. But my feeling now is... Audrey, how many people showed up at the meeting that was representative of the desert?
8, including me.
Okay, and we're talking the state of California was invited, basically.
Everybody in the state of California. This was the Southern California outreach at the Palm Springs, okay. Renaissance
so
Palm
what
Springs.
I say we do is close the desert. Just tell the Bureau, tell all those guys, you know what, it's yours, do whatever the hell you want to do with it. You want to turn it into a landmine, you know, demonstration area, go right ahead. You want to put solar... Go ahead. You want to put wind? Yeah. Go ahead. I'm done. And then when any of you people grab your family and your $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 worth of toys and you cruise out to the desert and the gate's locked, I don't want to hear it.
Yep.
7 people out of the state of California.
Yeah.
And the state, they're not serious either. They had a limp display.
I was disappointed that they didn't have like a structure. Well, they had a lot of representatives there. So there was people there to answer questions if you were interested in. They had Ocotillo State Park there because that's, you know, basically the closest vehicle recreational area, state vehicle recreation area that is. And so I was very happy to see Ocotillo's representatives there and the involvement. The people that did show up were well educated, knew what they were talking about, spoke eloquently, you know, asked questions. But I was really disappointed that more people did not show up, you know. That's just heartbreaking to me. You know, I get it was short notice. They only put it out 2 weeks ago and it was an in-person meeting. But if we don't have more people attending the meetings and voicing their opinion and showing up and getting involved, then why is the state going to continue to look to provide us more areas? You know, they need those partnerships. They need the users. They need the stakeholders. If they don't have the stakeholders, the users, and our input, then why are they going to do the work? You know what I mean? It's difficult. And right now, we're trying to be on the offense. For the first time in decades, they're looking at giving us land, and they need input. They need to know what land is available, what rural areas can they potentially add a new state vehicular recreation area, you know, and those ideas were lacking. The people that were there, you know, I know everywhere that I ride, but everywhere that I ride is currently either Bureau of Land Management, Forest Service, or a state park. So, when they came to adding areas, I was very interested. I said, can we add to Anza Borrego State Park. Why can't we have green sticker loops that are up against Ocotillo Wells, where, you know, at Pumpkin Patch, Thule Watch, that circles through and goes through. You could hit a cross trail and then Buttes Wash and have a complete circle. And right now, the regulation is, and we've talked about this before, it's 3 miles for a green sticker, right, to go on a trail. So, you know, I was working that with state parks and I was like, okay, well, I know that last year legislation passed for, and I'm blanking out on where it is, and I can't believe I'm blanking out on where it is. But in, off the Colorado River near the Pirates Cove Resort that I went and stayed at, which is why I can't believe it was part of the Rebel Rally, which is why I can't even believe I'm blanking out on the name of the location of where it is. But they just added in the trail, the miles, right? So you go across town. They added it for 10 miles. You can hit a trail. So for 10 miles, you could go across town, get gas, and then hit another trail in your green sticker vehicle, which, I mean, you're out in the middle of nowhere in the desert. I don't see why that would be an issue. So why when in Anza Borrego would that potentially, you know, I don't see how it could affect anything. You know, even with the environmentalists and such, I feel that it should be allowed. You know, I don't understand why green sticker couldn't work for that. Mm. So that was my biggest push as well, because Anza Borrego also abuts the 8 freeway. Well, they said that they're actually working on that. State Park said that they actually considered that. The Off Highway Motor Vehicle Division said that they actually considered that. So they're looking at different areas. So they were really happy. Ed sat down with me. We printed a map. He blew up a map of Ocotillo Wells right where it butts against Anza Borrego State Park, and we looked at the different trails. And in 2012 and before, those were all green sticker trails. This was a part of Ocotillo Wells. In 2012, the borderline moved for Anza Borrego, and they gained a lot of acres of Ocotillo Wells. So what before used to be open desert went to street legal trails only because it became Anza Borrego State Park. And that, you know, went up to really popular areas, especially the main one, which is what I brought up, which is Thule Wash at Pumpkin Patch. Because basically after Pumpkin Patch, you can't go very much further. You hit that borderline, and if you're not street legal, you can't continue on into Anza Borrego State Park. You have to turn around and go back out the way you came. And so to me, it's a perfect example of being able to add in trails changing a classification. They have to change the classification of the existing trail.
You don't have to do anything to the roads.
Nope. It's all there. It's all already there. It's all already mapped out. It's all already marked, signed trails that are there. So, you know, to me, it's a perfect prime example of adding in a new classification and being able to extend those trails out and add some green sticker trails from the green sticker OHV fund. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
So,
no, go ahead. I'm just getting Brendan's attention.
Oh, okay.
Guests downstairs. So anyway, so was your meeting productive?
Yes, and I don't know.
You'll have to wait and see.
We have to wait and see. You know, they're looking at adding 4x4 obstacle parks at the existing state vehicular areas. You know, what would benefit that would be.
Can't they just say, okay, you can go past Pumpkin Patch. We'll take care of that tomorrow. And then go on and build parks and off-road facilities and all that. No, just open the door, then go do whatever it is you got
to
do. You're going to have to study that for 10 years just to see and make sure there's no little animals out there.
Yes, with a biologist, archaeologist.
A country that supposedly works and does everything for us fight and do everything they can to keep us away from the things we want to do.
Yeah.
I just don't understand it.
Yeah.
And it starts, unfortunately, at the top.
Mm-hmm. But. Hopefully we'll see. I brought up, unfortunately, most of what I brought up is Anza Borrego State Park and getting in trails at Anza Borrego. Down near Stagecoach off the S2, S3, right at that connector, halfway down the valley, adding in some trails there. Also all the way over to the 8 side of the freeway in Acumba and Inkopa. There's trails that go there that go to the north, which is all Anza Borrego State Park, which would be just amazing if we could add in actual green sticker trails and red sticker trails in that section.
At this time, you can't.
And at this section, it's street legal only. And they're marked trails. They're named trails that you could potentially, Cabezo is one of them. The S2, S3, there's Villacito Creek, which is just a gorgeous trail to go do. And, you know, having a staging area where you can park, offload, take your side-by-side, go up on the hill, cruise the hill, have lunch at the top where the view is, and then head back. I mean, that would just be a beautiful day to spend out there. But it's street legal only, not green sticker.
That makes no sense at all.
Stay park.
But what makes more damage to the terrain, a street legal great big truck or a side-by-side or a motorcycle?
Well, obviously the motorcycle is the least impactive, but they think, I don't know, the sound.
40,000 motorcycles are going to show up?
No.
The sound? Who are they going to offend?
That's what the biggest complaint is. Sound? When you look at Moab and when you look at Sand Hollow, those are the two right now that I think that are in Utah that are completely under attack right now for sound regulation. When you look at that,
who are they offending?
The town residents, because in Moab,
I forgot. So, okay,
yeah,
pack them up,
yeah,
get them out, and Moab will be gone in a year.
Yeah, which if you look at Moab, was founded by the outdoor recreation there, right? Outdoor recreation
is
what created
somebody
that
in a
town.
Covered wagon there that was, just happened to roll in.
No, that was not a destination until you were either a downhill mountain biker, or an off-roader. And it was Jeeps, 4x4s.
So they think they can survive off the bicycle community.
I don't even think...
If you eliminate
the
off-road community and car manufacturers. I can't tell you how many car manufacturers go there. Mm-hmm. And you know how much they pay to borrow your little road?
You know, one of the things that made me really happy about the state parks thing is on their slideshow, they kept showing. They were showing kayakers, fishermen, horseback riders, and rock climbers. Because they're trying to make them aware that they're off-roaders too. And that really made me happy to see that they are trying to raise awareness to other groups to make them realize that they actually are off-roaders as well, because they off-road to a certain extent to get to that trailhead, to get to that creek or that river that they're fishing, or the lake that they're fishing, or the rocks that they're climbing.
Unfortunately, Borrego Springs has no creek. And the creek that's out there is called the Colorado River.
It's flowing. It's flowing really good in Borrego Springs right now. If you go to Palm Canyon, if you go to Coyote Canyon, if you go to any of them.
Everything's flooded.
Because of all the rain we've had for the last 4 months. It started raining 4 months ago and hasn't stopped.
Let's take a quick break. You're listening to SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
Hi, folks. Welcome back. You're listening to SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
This segment is brought to you by PRMI Mortgage. Boy, I tell you, if you are going to buy a house, sell a house, refi, maybe you're military and you're trying to get into a house, Chris Wiley has all the answers. That's right. You never have to worry about a thing. Just tell him what you want. He'll call you back. 619-722-1303, 619-722-1303. That's primerez.com. S&S Off-Road Magazine, they got some contest going now. Send in some pictures of what you're doing out in the desert. And also subscribe to SSORMAG.com, especially if you've just gotten into the off-road community, or maybe you never have. You're looking to buy stuff for your toys? That's where you'll find it, on their classifieds. SSORMAG.com. Ed's at a meeting
with the BLM, and Audrey's in the house. She was in a meeting Friday, and thanks to her employer giving her the time off. But if Audrey doesn't do things like that, the person selling the product won't be able to sell it because there's no place to take it.
Yes, without trails, there are no sales. That is one of my favorite sayings.
Is that your new one?
No, I've done that one for years.
Why don't you have
that's
a T-shirt?
That's on my sponsorship. That's on our sponsorship packet for SDORC.
Why don't you have a T-shirt?
What, without trails, no sales?
Just a black T-shirt, without trails, no sales.
Oh, I should do that.
And then the people that get it, and the people that don't will ask.
Yeah, I should. That should be our next T-shirt.
I mean, but I like informational T-shirts. Black.
Yeah.
Short message.
We need some new merchandise. You know, we've got a big barbecue coming up here.
When's that?
I'm super excited. We've booked the Lakeside Rodeo Grounds for Saturday, June 24th. We have teamed up with Fern Semi-Famous Barbecue to provide us food. We're going to have a VIP exclusive barbecue that you've got to pre-register for in advance. Otherwise, we'll just have hot dogs and snacks and nachos on site for you. We've teamed up with El Cajon Hobbies Store in El Cajon. They're going to throw down. We got the Lakeside Arena to agree to allow RC cars and an RC car competition in the arena. I'm
sweet.
So excited.
Yeah.
El Cajon Hobbies is going to bring out a couple of ramps. They've got some wooden jumps built already just for the Traxxas, the fast ones that haul butt at 60 miles an hour, 65 miles an hour. You are going to have to sign a special waiver, but you could sit up in the stands.
What's it going to hit you in the head?
Well, if those jumps, they jump at 60 miles an hour. They fly 50, 60, 70 feet in the air.
Hubby,
and they hurt.
Hubby down
they
the
told me, actually, he does go to, my husband has actually spent, I don't want to admit how much money in El Cajon Hobby Store. I think at one point he was up to 5 cars. I think now he's down to 3. I know every time
so
he goes out, they generally break.
So he's
ready. Oh, he's ready.
It's funny you should say that because I had a friend. I thought, man, this looks like this would be a blast. I wanted to try it out, so I got a little just battery electric one from Walmart.
A 19th scale or I think they're 18th scale. That one's 18th scale.
Didn't last a minute and a half.
And it's broke.
Rottweiler jumped on that thing and tore it apart. I had no idea.
Yes, my dogs don't like them at all.
I had
either.
No
we have
idea
to lock
this
the
dog
up.
Was out in the yard.
Yes.
So then I was thinking about moving up, getting it more faster with suspension.
Oh, yeah.
So, buddy,
my husband's
says,
is built.
He says, you do have money, right?
And oh, yeah, they're expensive.
What are you talking about? Go check out prices to put for lower control arms and suspension.
We have a deal. For every $500 he spends on the car, he's got to spend on my Jeep. So I'm totally okay with him going and buying his RC car parts because you go buy your RC car parts, that means I get upgrades too. I get bolt-ons as well.
But
so
that's what this one guy told me. He said, so be ready.
Oh, yeah.
He says, I've got cases of those plastic with the flip lids.
Yes.
Of parts.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because you never throw anything away.
No. Nope.
But it's fun when they run.
Oh, they're so fun.
So
we're going to have a fastest lap competition for the RC cars. Bring your own car down. There'll be a general admission for $20. There'll be a VIP admission with barbecue that you can get prior to. We'll have a raffle that night. We're teaming up with them. We're going to try and get some racers out to do a racer meet and greet. So we'll have some trophy truck, pre-runner trucks on site. We'll have a racer meet and greet. We're teaming up with Clean Desert Adam. We've had him on here a couple times. He's going to join us as well. So we're going to help each other out in regards to getting vendors on site. We're going to try and have, you know, as much merchandise vendors as we can there for you. Because I know, you know, it's end of the season. It's going to be June. Everybody's going to be. So I'm back and forth on that. I don't know if we're going to call it the SDORC Truck Jamboree. I don't know because we're going to try and bring in vendors. I'm going to have the racer meet and greet where you'll be able to talk to your favorite racer.
Well, here's what I'm thinking. You need to, once you figure it out, give it a one sheet, give it color.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then hit every single
We just had our copy, our committee meeting on Wednesday, and I was hoping by today I'd have the flyer done and out. Right. But I unfortunately.
But I'm just saying, you need to go to every like, Fun Bike Center, Moto World.
Oh yeah, everybody will have.
Say, here's the one thing: if you want to participate,
yep.
Here's a sheet.
Yep.
Otherwise, can I put this in your window?
Yep. 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 It'll be the same thing.
Have you got anybody? You got anybody signed up for that?
To go around and do that. We do have a couple volunteers. Rick Moore, shout out to Rick Moore. He's one of our elders. He's one of our original founding members that's been around. He's retired, going around and helping out. Bo Nice has offered to help us out as well.
What you need to do is split the map.
Yes.
You know, and split the map. But if you want to give me a section
someplace. Oh, I would love that.
But split the map up. You know, you know how many bike stores.
We have a total list that we
need to hit. From Oceanside to Chula Vista.
Yep, North County Yamaha, Escondido Cycle Center.
Adamo's.
Fun Bike Center, Adamo's, B&R Buggy in Oceanside, right. All the way down to the South Bay, Advanced Motorsports, JR Motorsports, right. All of those guys. Everybody is going to be invited on site. We've got plenty of room for vendors. And if we sell out the Lakeside Rodeo, we'll just look at purchasing the Junior Fairgrounds in the back because we can throw 60 more vendors in the junior fairgrounds in the back.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. We all got to chip in to make, you know, to get this. And we got to get me a date, June 24th.
June 24th, Saturday, June 24th. The Lakeside Rodeo Grounds is booked.
KUSI.
We are.
Let me see what I can
do. I need KUSI prior to that as well. Hopefully maybe two dates, one in May, one in June, since it's June 24th.
May's freaky, but let me try.
Okay.
Let me see what I got.
Okay, cool.
And what's it going towards? Or is it just
this
like...
This is so we can get a lobbyist. We've narrowed down who we would like to hire. We've got CORVA, California Off-Road Vehicle Association, who is willing to team up with us. Unfortunately, ASA has backed out, which really just breaks my heart. So we're looking for more nonprofits willing to team up with us that want to work to get a lobbyist.
Why would they back out?
So they've decided they're in one of the lawsuits with Ecologic in that got joined with Friends of Oceana Dunes.
Oh, so they don't feel like they need one.
So they feel that they want to file a lawsuit, which to me, that's bass ackwards.
Yeah.
You are supposed to work on the lobbyists and work on the legislation and change the law instead of filing a lawsuit and an injunction to intervene against a law.
Yeah.
So to me, the money is there. They want to put the money in the wrong place.
Let them go. Let them go.
You know, okay.
That's all you can do. All right. I have another idea.
Yes.
Two.
Yes.
Two.
Yes.
You don't have nothing to write this down, so I'll probably have to try to remember. The first thing you want to do is have a... what'd you call the? What was her name? What was her job? The one up in Sacramento that passed away.
Lobbyist.
A lobbyist costume contest. Have somebody dress up, you know, as a lobbyist, and then you pick the best looking lobbyist gets a trophy. Okay, it'd just be crazy if you put that out there. Everybody goes, "Say, now, lobbyist. What's a lobbyist look like?" Well, you tell me what a lobbyist looks like.
Yeah.
And then you go down to one of your local wrecking yards. And you ask them for a crushed car, like a cube. You know how they make them into a big cube?
Yeah.
And have it deliver it to Lakeside.
Yeah.
Give you the make, model, okay, but make sure when you before you crush, take the VIN plate off, crush it and charge $5 to guess the make and the model.
Oh, that would be cool.
Do you know how much money that makes people?
That would be really cool.
Because there's guy, and you have to rope it off because you can't be getting in there and nosing around.
Right.
Oh, Maynard used to do it, Mark Maynard, at the auto show.
Yeah.
It was insane. And then when the event's over, come get your box or your block and go recycle it or do whatever.
Wow.
Just something to think about.
I like that idea.
Well, and it's a no-brainer.
Well, if we don't have a lobbyist and we don't have trails, and guess what? Your off-road car is going to end up crushed like that.
That's
and
a
you
sign.
Don't even Yeah, cuz what's it going to be? It's going to be a recycled POS because where are you going to take it? Ooh. What you going to do with it? I'm loving that.
Yeah, make a big bang. Oh yeah.
I'll take that and run with it. Don't worry. I'll take that and run with it.
No. That's a tip. And you've seen a
crushed car, not the one on 007, but
no.
had all the gold in it, the back of the Ranchero.
Yes. So I'm super excited about this. Mark your calendar, save the date, Saturday, June 24th. If you are interested in joining us, if you have a business, you want to be a sponsor, we're going to be selling vendor spots, booths. If you want to help out and volunteer, we need volunteers to help. We're not going to charge for parking, but we need somebody to do parking. We need somebody to sell raffle tickets. We need somebody to help with food. We need to help with the raffle at the time of the raffle. And so,
and if you have the block, you got to have somebody to maintain
the block.
What time's this event from when to when?
11 to 7. So 11 a.m. to 7 p.m.
So one person can stay in one area.
Yeah.
Or what you can do is move the groups around.
Hopefully we'll be moving the groups around, relieving the people so they're not stuck in one area. And
get to see more of the show.
Yeah, definitely. I'm really excited for this. You know, as more comes together and more pieces are coming together, mm-hmm. with Fern bringing in El Cajon Hobby Store and seeing what they're willing to do. They're going to build an...
I don't think so I've
we're
going to
have
barbecue.
An outer part of... He does catering, so it's not really a store. But he used to do... You know... Spring Valley.
Cali Comfort?
Cali Comfort. That's him. So.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay. Well, see if that takes care of that.
That takes care of that, right? That's good food right there.
That's what we're talking.
Excellent food. Got the wedding beans in there. You got a salad.
Don't start.
We're going to do quarter chicken and pulled pork. It's going to be your VIP barbecue with a salad, corn.
Well, what's it cost to be
dinner
a VIP?
Roll, $40.
$40
per person. For the pre-registered entry, it's going to cut off a week before. So on the day of, we're going to allow general admission. You have to register on site because it's a private event, right? So you're going to have to register on site at www.sdorc.org prior to the event. And then on the day of, the general admission is going to be sold on there because you're going to have to sign a waiver. Mm-hmm. Because if you're on the bottom lines of that arena, no idea, because you can bring your own RC car and you can race and compete your own car.
You're going to have to tech it.
We're not charging for that. That's going to be part of the...
Does it have to pass tech?
No, it does not have to pass tech.
So parts and pieces can fly off?
Parts and pieces can fly off. This is going to be... It's going to be fun.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, sounds like Ed Stoven might be on the line.
He decided to hang up, but he might call back.
Oh, okay. Sounds great. Right here on SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome back. This is SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
We were talking about the big barbecue, June 24th.
Yeah.
More information to come. Did Ed call back? No, he didn't call back.
Our food representative is actually providing the food at Monster Jam right I think last night, right? Because Monster was in Arizona last night.
Arizona.
Yeah, he did the LA one, and I believe the Arizona Monster Jams, where he's providing the barbecue food for the VIPs there.
Mm-hmm. You know, and Cali Comfort figured it out, or KUSI figured it out, one of the two, because they invite them all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And what do? They come and they bring so much food.
And
all the KUSI employees eat for like 2 days.
Ugh. And their food is so good.
It really is.
Yeah. It's how it is.
It's a little hard to find.
Fern's, he's got jerky as well, so you can go on and buy
some beef jerky from Fern's. Do you like
Fern's.
Jerky?
I love jerky.
It gets stuck in my teeth.
It doesn't matter if it gets stuck in my teeth.
I'm a flosser.
So.
I gag. Yeah, I can't do that. So.
Well, I didn't realize Ed had called in last segment.
Yes, you did. Ed's stuck on the line and no one's talking
to
him.
Well, he's out in the middle of the desert, so I'm kind of bummed that we missed him.
I'd like to have heard his report.
Yeah, because he's Desert Advisory Council for the Mojave Trails National Monument right now, and he's out doing a tour right now with the Mojave Trails National Monument.
Trying to convince them.
Really interested to hear what he has to say.
Okay, you guys want me to call him back then? Because I do have his...
Go ahead. Give him a call.
I'll say his number on air. I'm not a...
No. Yeah, they're never all the pervs. or you know what we can do? Come in next Sunday at 1.
Oh, yeah?
And then have him come in at noon.
Oh, and do his report?
All by himself.
Okay.
He would poop. There's no way. He thinks he could do it. He can't do it. I don't think you could do the whole show with commercials and ins and outs.
I think you can.
Yeah, but it'd sure be fun to startle him.
Yeah.
Because he would be we could be hiding in the other room. And you got him?
Hi, guys.
Hey, buddy,
hey,
what's
Ed,
up?
Ed, how are you?
Hey. Oh, I'm out in the desert. I'm about 10 miles west of Amboy Crater. I can see it.
Oh, wow.
I'm about a mile from Route 66. And there's a... I'm right next to a small cemetery. There's about 25 graves. They're not marked with names. There's like some old wooden crosses. And this is what they call a resource or an object that's in the Mojave Trails National Monument. And so we've been looking at various resources and objects. Those are the key terms. And we're talking about how they're going to be managed in the monument. We looked at a variety of other ones yesterday, and we're sort of scratching our heads. Should these things be on the map so everybody sees, or will that bring too many people in and degrade these sensitive old things? So that's a lot of what we're doing out here.
See, now that's a real sensitive question.
Yeah.
Because there's always some doorknob that will take the headstone home, nail it to his garage or his bathroom wall.
See what I got?
As a memento. Boy, okay, dude, I don't envy what you guys are trying to figure out. Because you're right. You're darned if you do, and you're darned if you don't.
So yesterday we went to this place, and I had no idea this existed. And it has a big fence around it. It's about 200 or 300 foot square. And inside, it's a small version of the California desert, and they said, oh, it's like from Needles to Yuma and then over to San Diego. It's like this vast amount of desert that's made into a model, and they made little hills and stuff.
So in other words,
military.
Yeah, it's like when in the military, when you do that stuff, you build a topography, so where the tanks are going to go.
Yeah.
So that's what you're saying. It's
exactly
a replica
that's
of the
what
desert.
They did.
And that's just out in the
and
middle
so
of the desert?
It's just way out there. I mean, you would never know it's out there. And
it's not in a building. It's not in anything.
No,
it's
no,
just...
it's like...
What's it constructed
many miles
of?
From... It's just dirt.
Yeah, well, they're just... You know what I'm saying?
Wood.
They probably got little mountains, and that looks like that mountain. They
oh,
got little bushes, little cactus.
How cool.
Who maintains it? Who maintains it?
It's nobody. Well, I don't know. I think the BLM does.
Because you imagine water flood come through there and wash all that away.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to come back and put it back together, I would think.
I don't. It's not really in a flood zone. Oops. So we looked at that and we discussed that. Then we went over to this. There was a chapel, and then there's just rock outlines. And they said this was a military camp in World War II. We walked around there for a while. And then we drove to this other area where there's lots of pieces of wood, like fence posts, and lots of steel cans resting on the ground. And this is a place where military people stayed and where they had the mess hall. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of these pieces of wood. And then there's a fine metal mesh, like screen. And so they had screen windows, and the windows are still there.
Wow.
So we're deciding, okay, well, this one, it's harder to screw with. But there was evidence of campfires, and I would imagine somebody took some of that wood and made a campfire.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's exactly what they'll
do. Probably not the best thing. So what? Like, how do we manage this stuff as it goes into the monument, and the monument is now published? You know, there's a map, and we talk about it, and the monument manager says that she's required to work with the local governments to bring in people to see this. You know, tourism. So we're going to have tourists there, but we have to manage this stuff so that it doesn't
I get it.
Well, I hate to tell you, but, you know, because I've involved with a few museums, because that's what it is.
It's
an outdoor
museum. Yeah.
Means you park your car.
You
park your car on the outside. I wouldn't even let you do that. You get in a little tram. Electric with a solar panel on the top, and you just and then over here to the right is Georgia Cemetery. Over here to the left was the, you know, how big is this area?
Well,
I don't know, acres.
Okay,
the wooden one, the wood. There's, I don't know, 5 acres, and then you go over a hill, and there's more acres of it.
Okay, so why are they doing this? Because this, there's got to be some pressure. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it.
It got designated the National Monument not too long ago.
President Obama made it a National Monument on February 12th in 2016. And the BLM is tasked with forming a management plan on how do we take care of this large of land. And so my group, I'm here with about a dozen people. There's like a film consultant. I told Audrey that Ashley's here from Rebel Rally because the rally goes through. There's a pilot. There's a bunch of people. There's three managers from the BLM, two office managers, and the monument manager. And we're walking around and we're looking at stuff.
Has anybody talked about if you do go in there and you, you know, damage anything, you know, like a $20,000 fine and have cameras?
More than that.
I know, I'm just
throwing it out. Consequences.
You got to have a consequence. If you don't have a consequence, I'm going to come get me a memorabilia and go nail it on my wall. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure.
You got to have
a challenge. And how do you, and I don't know, does this stuff really have value? I'm walking around and there's this rusty old steel things on the ground.
Yeah.
And would somebody want to buy that? And laying here in the desert, it tells the story.
Yeah.
This old wood and this old metal and the
You don't think about
stuff.
It, Ed, but...
No, Ed's
like,
not a collector.
Like old barbed wire is actually highly collectible.
So stupid expensive.
If you can find old barbed wire...
There's some really old barbed wire over here.
Well, guess what?
Worth
a six-inch,
thousands
a six
of
inch,
dollars.
Yeah, a six-inch section is about $500 to $1,000.
Well,
no, because that's the reason you're out there to make this not happen. You know, and if you back...
I just had my hand on some very, very old barbed wire.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Hundreds of
take
years
a,
old.
Just
hundreds
for the hell of it, take a picture.
I could tell you that is worth thousands of dollars.
Yeah, take a picture of it and then go Google it and see what it's worth.
Well, that's good information.
Because,
I'm going to tell my friends
because the
from
different
the BLM
spurs,
about it.
Because barbed wire is identifiable. It's identifiable per military, per whether it was ranchers or what. They each had their different
cows,
twists.
Pigs,
they had their different
sheep.
Yes, as how it was going to be caught, how it was going to be kept in, and
wow.
So
they actually when you would go to the store or in the town, there would be a piece of wood with about 12 different types of barbed wire.
Yeah,
and you
and
could
there's
choose
different meaning for different barbed
right.
wire,
and then you buy it in the big rolls. Seriously?
Oh, seriously,
gonna,
Ed, you have no idea.
Send it over.
She's got her phone here. It's working good. All right. Well, hey, you're going to come in next week, right? Or you got?
I'll be in next week. Yeah, we're done.
All right.
We'll be done today.
Cool.
Thanks for having me on. We'll talk to you later.
Keep hiking. All right, we're going to take a quick break, but. First.
Oh no, we're done after this. So, yeah.
So I'm just saying,
you're gonna be here, but
I'll
I am not.
Stay. San Diego
anyway.
Auto Museum Radio coming up next.
Yes.
Gonna be a great show.
Yes. So become a member. Send us ideas. Let us know if you're interested in the barbecue. You want to volunteer. You want to be an on-site vendor. Saturday, June 24th. Save the date. I'm very excited for that. www.sdorc.org. info@sdorc.org to shoot us over emails. If you've got areas of concern or different things like that, reach out to us. Let us know what's going on. You got ideas for the public access OHV meeting? Send it to us. We need to know those areas.
FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The answer.
Thanks for joining us for San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio with Dave Stahl, the program that is working to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. To learn more about SDORC and how you can get involved, visit SDORC.org. That's SDORC.org. Join us next week at this same time for more of the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles while protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. This has been San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio on The Answer San Diego.
This program is sponsored by Love Radio Network.